It's Monday, December 13th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, I got a great show for you, and yes, I am feeling quite a bit better. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of California via the Geek News Central portable studio in Carlsbad, California. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. And hey, get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight. And it's really the best way for you to get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, hey everyone, doing good here. And here's something interesting tonight. For the first time in many shows, it's just the audio audience and I. There's no video tonight. Really, what's going on is I tried to travel a little lighter, and the connection here in the hotel really just didn't support it. Even having my Sprint EVDO card and my Verizon EVDO card, we just could not get, I could not get bandwidth up to a point that made it, made it to the point where I'd be able to do video. So tonight's an audio-only show, which is a rarity at this point, but you got yourself all to myself here. But just kind of give you an update. Boy, oh boy, it's been a rough road over the past 3 or 4 days, and I'm still, I would say I'm 70% on the road to recovery. At least I've gotten the cough semi under control, and it's not completely gone. It's still underlying there and hanging out, and my throat is still not 100%, but I wanted to get a show out tonight so that we could stay on track for the upcoming 24-hour podcast, of course, and then what is forthcoming. Actually, I'll be back in Honolulu, of course, for the Thursday show at the regular time and place. But yeah, no fun being sick, and with so much stuff to do, it just stacked up. Work continues to stack up, and I'm not getting as much done as I wanted to, but apologize for the last show. But again, as I said, it was better than me hacking on you for the entire show. But let me give you just a kind of quick rundown of what's been going on. I did do the Saturday Morning Tech Show, and I had Rob Greenlee on and Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine. That's up on the website, so make sure you check that out. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the Morning Tech Show, all you really got to do there is go to that orange box, and you're going to find the RSS feed for the Saturday Morning Tech Show, and you'll be able to subscribe to the feed via iTunes, Zune, or your regular podcatcher, and that's the best way to make sure that you're staying up to date with that. Did put the audio version up this time as well, so you'll find in the main post of the morning show, you'll find the RSS feed for the audio portion as well. The 24 podcast, I published a schedule on Sunday, and of course, we're going to be kicking off at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, December 18th. So we've got a pretty good lineup, interesting group of people to talk to, and I'm excited about the upcoming event. We do have scheduled a listener hour where I'm dedicating 1 hour of the show on Sunday. We're going to be starting that at 9 a.m., and we'll run that for an hour. It's where fans of the show can, it's going to be, you guys will be able to call in and have a discussion with me about the show and its impact that it's, the impact of the show it's made on you in the 6 years we've been running the show. So the Ohana Hour starts at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, December 19th. So we hope that, of course, we hope you'll join us for the whole show anyway. It should be a great conversation, lots to talk about. And of course, we're raising money for a very good charity, and it's a coalition to salute American heroes. You'll find a PayPal button within the post on the schedule. So if you want to donate to that cause, please feel free to do so. You know, $5, $10, $15, $20 would be great. You know, whatever you feel that you can. And if you can't, come out and support me during the show while we're live. That would that's even better. So hope to have a good time for you, and hopefully I'm 100% healthy and not doing that by that time. So kind of weird here in Carlsbad. The where I'm staying is real close to the airport, and there's not a lot around here. It definitely on the northern outskirts of San Diego for sure. And but it's a kind of an interesting little community with you can see lots of residential, industrial all mixed together. So I'll talk about that more as I explore Carlsbad here over the next couple of days. Looks like the meetup, we're going to do a meetup on Wednesday, and that's the plan for right now anyways, do the meetup on Wednesday. I'm still looking to kick off new shows. So we're taking auditions again for 5 shows. So if you're interested in being a podcaster, part of the Geek News Central brand, let me know. And we're definitely going to get some shows signed up here and get them rolling. Make sure, of course, to check the show out on the Roku. Of course, this show's not on the Roku, but all the other shows will be. All right, what have I got for you here? Hey, let's take care of a little business. Hey, GoDaddy.com. You know, if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, you name it, GoDaddy.com is really the place to go. So when you get over to GoDaddy, hey, make sure you check out all the products and services. And when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek gear at Geek News Central by using one of my promo codes. You can find them at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Promo code Todd will save you 10%. Todd20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And of course, for that geek in your life, definitely think about picking up a hosting account and a domain form, and save money with your purchase at GoDaddy.com using my promo codes. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Couple of quick things, of course. We are still, the Ohana store is still open at cafepress.com/Ohana store. So definitely check that out. Of course, we're looking for new insiders. Anyone that becomes an insider between really now and the end of the year, I will do a match funds so far as what my contribution will be in the 24-hour podcast to our charity. So I hope that you'll jump on board and become an insider of the show. All right, let me go ahead and look at my list here. Pretty short list, really. Still dragging a little bit, so at this point I'm trying to get the show knocked out for you, but I do have a lot of great news for you to go over. There's a new website by YouTube. It's called YouTube Trends. And what they're going to be doing with YouTube Trends, it's going to be a destination for daily insights into really the largest video site in the world, and they're going to be talking about what's hot and what's new at YouTube. I have this link up in the show notes. Trying to figure out this, you know, if this is a, it looks like an official site of YouTube, but it's on YouTube, tactrends.blogspot.com, so it's kind of a weird location, but I have a link up for you in the show notes. I've got some videos up, and you definitely can check it out. Moving on to the next article, this past Saturday we were talking about Yahoo a little bit. As a matter of fact, the title of the Saturday Morning Tech Show is entitled "Who Visits Yahoo Anymore?" Something to that effect. And an article came out today on New York Times talking about Yahoo, specifically that they were going to lay off another 650 employees here in the next couple of days. So, you know, it just goes to prove, once again, that, you know, you're just going through and talking about something one day, and then they're doing more, more employee cutting to try to save cost. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to ultimately happen to Yahoo, but they've definitely feels like they've lost their way. That's for sure. Talk about a new company that's been started by a former Googler. It's called Disconnect, And what they've done is they've launched a browser extension that disables third-party tracking. And this is pretty cool. So if you're worried about what's being tracked by Google and other third parties, it will actually go in and depersonalize searches. So even if you're logged into Gmail or into Google, when you do your search, it'll depersonalize those. You can see what's being blocked going back, and of course it'll disable that third-party tracking. So I have a link up for you in the show notes, and this has been reported by TechCrunch today, and it looks like a pretty positive startup. And you know, it's kind of ironic, you've got a Googler that is killing the feedback that's being sent to Google on a probably project that he worked on before. Over in the UK, there's a big crackdown going on right now with those of you that are blogging. They're actually tweeting and being paid to tweet and yet have not disclosed it. So be careful out there. If you are a company and you have decided to pay people to blog about your company, make sure you're disclosing that, because the folks in the UK are going after people in a big way and starting to fine people. I'm sure many of you heard and or maybe even seen this on the news about what happened over the weekend with Gawker Media. And if you've ever used Gawker or some of their sister sites, they were hacked big time this weekend. And over 1.2 million people's usernames and about 200,000 passwords so far have been released in the public domain. The entire website, database, infrastructure, everything from Gawker's CMS was basically put out and made available on a BitTorrent. I went over and looked at a torrent tracker, and I saw that there was about 1,300 or 1,400 people that were currently seeding and downloading the product, or downloading the package. It was like 480 megs. So, you know, I was looking through my password database to make sure I didn't have an account over there. I did not, so I feel pretty secure knowing that at least one of my passwords have not been compromised. But if you've ever made a comment on Gawker Media or any of their websites that are associated with them, you definitely will want to pay attention to what's been going on. And you may have already received an email from them talking about this, but huge hack and some pretty, best that they've been in there for a while. This is maybe a month or two. The hackers have been inside the Gawker.com infrastructure, taking everything from emails, Twitter account, root on their servers. It's not pretty at all, and probably one of the bigger breaches this year for a digital media site. So they were offline for a while. I don't know if they're back on now, but if you've made comments over there, have an account, definitely you want to check it out. News out of NASA today is Voyager 1 is nearing the edge of the solar system. This is exciting news here. NASA's long-running Voyager 1 spacecraft is continuing to set 38,500 miles between it and Earth every hour. And what they have found is that the spacecraft has entered a area of the outer, basically the boundaries of our solar system, where solar winds are now basically zero. As compared to what they were before. Essentially, the solar wind matched the spacecraft. Just as wind velocity on Earth can vary, the team took measurements for several months to make sure there were no changes. They knew this was going to happen, and they feel that it may take Voyager another 4 years to completely leave our solar system and get into interstellar space, where they're saying that they'll see a telltale change in wind, and also the interstellar wind is slower, colder, and denser than solar wind. Some pretty amazing stuff here. And you think about, I think I was reading what now is 12.3 light minutes away from Earth. So in the scheme of things, it's not that far, but it continues to hurtle out there about 38,000 miles an hour heading outbound. Of course, Voyager 2 is continued to go as head outbound as well. And Voyager 1, I think, is, like they said, about 10.8 billion miles from the sun, and Voyager 2 is about 8.8. It's traveling a little slower. It's only doing 35,000 miles per hour. and that you know they've all both exited. They're exiting the solar system in different areas, so we'll keep our eye on that. Interesting. This is a accessibility issue, and I'm sure I'll get some email on this soon. But apparently, Microsoft has backtracked on accessibility in new mobile operating systems. It's basically committed to more deeper accessibility in future Windows phones, but they have decided not to implement some API stuff that they were going to initially. Now, the phones still are accessible, but not as accessible as what Microsoft had hinted they may be. So it appears that the code does not support some of the things they wanted to do, and they're going to have to make those changes as they move down the road. So they didn't make any specific commitments to this, but this is a pretty major blow for those that wanted more accessibility within the Windows Phone 7 mobile operating system. A little information over on Slashdot. The future web video at stake in the Comcast NBC regulatory review, and this is, I think this is true. We know that video continues to become more accessible through the Roku, Boxy, Vudu, through Samsung IPTV, and a dozen other devices out there. And, you know, but the question would be is, what if there wasn't anything worth watching on, you know, if all of a sudden they loosen up for a while and they let this stuff go on and all of a sudden they retighten it back down? What basically is happening now is that the regulators are pushing for tough conditions to ensure that Comcast will not stifle the online video services by withholding content or pushing up the prices for the what they call the marquee programs at NBC. So we know that we're all turning to the internet. And as a matter of fact, my wife and I and the kids, we had a discussion about starting to cut come January 1st, and we're gonna do that at our house. I've been talking about it for a while, and we're gonna start leading the way. We may have to give up some of the programs we like watching, but we're gonna start cutting the cord. And we want to hope, just like everyone else, a lot of this stuff continues to move online. Only time will tell, but at least regulators are trying to make sure that the Comcast NBC deal doesn't result in more content being pulled back, for them trying to protect their business. Okay, of course, the federal health care, there's two sides to this. You either love it or you hate it, maybe there's three sides. Maybe you're indifferent to it. We know that several judges have already ruled on various portions of this, but today a U.S. district judge issued a ruling that the universal health care law that was pushed through, parts of it were unconstitutional. Specifically, he invalidated the section of a law that requires all citizens to purchase health care insurance, saying that it doesn't fall under the purview of the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. So I guess what's going to happen now is ultimately this thing's going to end up in the Supreme Court. So I know this raises big concerns, and people are very passionate about this topic on the right and the left. So it's obvious we all knew this was going to be headed towards the courts. I'd be very curious to see how the Supreme Court will rule on this if they decide to take this up. I don't see how they cannot. But here's the odd thing: you've got two other courts have knocked down challenges, and you got a third judge that has went the other way. So whatever your political leanings are, or whatever your thoughts are on universal health care, it is an interesting development in this. And I never fully could understand how the government could tell you to buy, I guess they tell you to buy car insurance, I don't know. I never figured out how they were going to be able to enforce this, first of all. So I guess time will tell, and we'll see how this plays out. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, feel free to email me at geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, we're on Tech Dirt. There's been many articles. They're talking about digital downloading and how the record industry thinks that digital downloads are going to be saving the music industry. And I think, You know, if you listen to the music executives, they all think that peer-to-peer is going to be their downfall. They had a big, you know, big hope that digital would pick up and take over where CD sales have dropped off. But, you know, while there's still some growth in the space, it does appear that digital sales have slowed down dramatically. And I just wonder how this business is going to continue to either survive or falter. Personally, I think that digital sales are going to remain pretty flat, and that, you know, people are still going to continue to share music. So the question I have for all you is, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen with digital music? Are the labels going to have to rely on, you know, additional clothing lines, T-shirts, memorabilia? Is that what's going to drive the digital market? Is it what's going to keep artists fed? Where do you guys think this is going? Love to hear your feedback. Of course, geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You may not have known this or not, but NASA has been streaming the build of the next Mars rover called Curiosity. And boy, people have been hitting this like crazy. Over a million people have logged on to watch the construction of Curiosity. And it's pretty cool to see your tax dollars at work. I know that they were streaming this over on Ustream, but more than a million unique users have spent a combined 400,000 hours watching the rover being built between October 21st, when the webcast began, and November 23rd. So pretty cool what they're doing there. So if you haven't seen this, you'll definitely want to check out the live stream from time to time. And it's being held over on Ustream, so you can check that out. And while you're over there, you can check my channel out as well. Boy, scientists have really been set back in their heels this past week about some of the stuff they've seen on the sun. And up to this point, the scientists have only focused on certain areas where there have been corneal ejections. I'm probably destroying that anyway. But this past week, there was this huge solar explosion that really kind of encompassed a large portion of the sun. And the scientists really are at this point saying they're going to have to change their methods on how they watch the sun instead of looking at just isolated parts, has been more common in the past. And so this is, you know, basically a pretty big eye-opener for anyway, I have the link up in the show notes, and there's a pretty cool video that goes along with this. If you want to check it out, I have a link up for you in the show notes. Hey, tonight is the night. We're probably, if you're listening to the show tomorrow morning, you missed it. But there's a partial lunar eclipse. And at the same time, we're supposed to have a great meteor shower tonight. So if you have clear skies, you're still able to go out and look at this between 12:30 a.m. and early morning hours, you definitely want to go do that. But it's going to be a pretty big night for sky watching. Hey, there's a report online right now that internet use is now being reported to tie TV time and time spent avoiding outdoor activity. So the amount of usage of internet usage and TV usage is pretty equal. I'm telling you, folks, people are sitting in front of their TVs with their laptops in their lap. So they're watching a little TV, doing a little surfing the internet. How many of you are doing that? Or how many of you are actually completely removing TV from your viewing and you're just doing web-based stuff? So Forrester Research says that TV consumption at about 13 hours a week, and internet usage has also risen to 13 hours a week as well. So this number represents 121% uptake in the past 5 years. And again, we're all multitasking, and that's the name of the game now. Now, Boxy sent out a new update today. So if you are a Boxy user or a Boxy owner, you want to push this update into your system. The update lets locally stored content shine. You can basically choose what do you do more if you watch most of your own content, or do you watch stuff from the web? And they'll set up the interface to kind of focus on that. So the UI has been updated a second time since, this is the first update after the Thanksgiving update. So pretty quickly here what they've done. But I'm looking forward to getting home and pushing the update and looking to see what the change is. Well, lo and behold, Sony. You know, Sony has announced a suite of SD cards for cameras. And this is pretty shocking, you know, that I've never seen a Sony SD card before, but they've announced three new series of SD cards. And, you know, this is something to pay attention to as you're buying cameras for Christmas and so forth. Make sure you're getting the right class of SD card. I think the highest class card you can get right now is a 10. Like my JVC HD cameras, they require a minimum of a 6. Class 6 card, and you know, really what happens is the higher the class, the more expensive the card gets. The pricing hasn't been announced on the Sony sticks yet, but I know that right now the average price for a Class 6 32 gig SD card by just any general manufacturer is about $100. So we'll see where Sony pricing comes in when they announce their pricing. So like to see Sony completely convert over everything to SD. Hey, Boxy wasn't the only folks that did an update today. Roku has dropped new firmware in time for the holidays. So if you've got a Roku XR, you now have 1080p. You have Hulu optimization as well. So definitely check out the, make sure you update your Roku box. And I've got a couple of XRs at home that that will need to be updated. How many of you had some packages that you've paid for two-day delivery that have taken 5 days? Well, I've had a few of that here recently. And, you know, just here's some advice. You can save a lot of money during the Christmas holidays if you keep track of when those products were delivered and make sure that you recover funds from late deliveries. If you want to use a service to track that, you can do that with PackageFox.com. So they'll track and see what's being delivered on time and what isn't. You know, I pay a lot of money for two-day service to Honolulu, and when I end up with 3 or 4 days, I go after them. I say, hey, listen, I paid for two-day. If I wanted 3 or 4 day, I would have paid for ground, and I can get 30 to 40% back. So pay attention to your track, your packages that you're shipping, and making sure that they're getting delivered on time, because you are allowed a refund if they don't do it, but you won't get it unless you ask for it, okay? Hey, there's a new site called English Central, EnglishCentral.com. If English is a second language for you, this may be a great site for you to learn English. English Central provides English students with a fabulous chance to hone their skills, and you'll be able to watch videos and practice speaking through microphones. This uses a proprietary technology. English Central will be able to evaluate your pronunciation and timing. I guess I should use that a little bit too, huh? And produce a list of highlights of those aspects where there's room for improvement. It should be fun just to go over there and do my own score, wouldn't it be? Let me go ahead and take a shot of water here. Been playing with Miro quite a little bit recently. You guys been playing with Miro? If you know, we talked about Miro a few times, but if you're into online video and you want to use this with your computer, definitely check out the Miro player. Their offerings continue to get a lot better over time. One thing that drives me crazy when I go shopping with my lovely wife is that she, you know, okay, guys, when we go and we need wrapping paper, you know, we just look in the, you know, they've got those tubs of wrapping paper. You just stick your hand in there and grab one. You look at it for about 3 seconds. Ah, that looks good. And you go to the counter with it, right? And ladies, I'm sure you're going to laugh. But, you know, it's a 30-minute ordeal to buy wrapping paper. At least with my spouse, that's how long it takes. Because, you know, what are you thinking? You know, I'm having to smile and shake my head. And, yes, it looks great, honey. And, oh, yeah, that's a good one. And, oh, that doesn't look too much like the other one. And, you know, in the end, the kids and the relatives, they just rip this paper off anyway. Unless you're in Japan. In Japan, they very nicely unwrap the presents. They don't shred them like we do here. Largely because wrapping paper is really nice. It's not this thin tissue paper stuff that we have here. But if you're looking for some geeky wrapping paper, I'm going to have a link up today for Ogizmo. And this is some ultimate wrapping paper for geeks. You'll definitely want to check that out. Maybe a good quick purchase here before the holiday. Moving on to the next article. And this is an article on technologizer.com, and they're asking, are two screens better than one? And it's a review. We talked about this computer before. It's called the Acer Iconia, and no price on this yet, but this was reviewed by a lot of sites. And what it is, it's a notebook computer based on the Intel Core i5 processor. It has two LCD screens, one on the bottom where the keyboard would be, and one on the top offering you a lot of different options. And it's coming in a 14-inch form factor. And it's got this dual-screen layout. So the question would be is, do you see a use for having a, in lieu of where your keyboard would be, having a flat screen on the, you know, basically on that bottom surface? I'm thinking about this a little bit here, and obviously, you know, it kind of reminds me of the way they've got this set up, kind of like Minority Reports, because you can pull and drag and push stuff, and but I don't know. I don't know how much functionality this thing would really be. I'd use it more as a tablet, I think, than I would. But there's up to 10 finger touches that you can do with it. And it's got its own navigation system, kind of like what the iPad does. But how many of you think this would be a cool product to have? It's being in the running for one of the best gadgets for CES 2011. And I'll have the link up for you in the show notes. Love to hear you guys what you think about this particular product. I'm going to try to get Acer on with this unit to talk about it. Those of you that live up in Canada that have Rogers as an internet service provider, boy, I guess if you've been using any peer-to-peer stuff recently, you've noticed there's been some serious degradation to your network speed, because since mid-September, both up and downstream BitTorrent traffic has been severely degraded in some areas. They're not saying where, which goes against the company's network management policy. In addition, the new throttling technology has also slowed down non-peer-to-peer traffic in many cases. So this is an interesting development here. Now, Rogers Communication claims it has to throttle peer-to-peer to prevent their network from becoming the world's, basically, buffet, as they like to call it. And their bandwidth bills have also increased to the large growing popularity of BitTorrent. So how many of you have been affected by this and or have noticed it? There are Canadian listeners up north that are on Rogers that have used BitTorrent. And a little bit of hypocrisy here. I think this took place in the Netherlands. As part of an article investigating the growing phenomena of ebook piracy, a Scandinavian news outlet interviewed a 19-year-old self-confessed pirate. To counter his viewpoint, a well-known author contributed to the piece, stating that she really is against book piracy, since it cost her huge amounts of money. But here's a little bit of a mix to the story. This gal's son basically talked about how his wife was, I mean, not his wife, but his mom was basically taking a lot of music off, downloading music online via peer-to-peer and not paying for it. So I'm sure that the son is not in good graces with his mom right now, because he dimed her out. But talk about hypocrites. You know, want their cake and eat it too. So just goes to show you, a lot more people are doing peer-to-peer than what are willing to admit it. It's being rumored, I think it's a pretty strong rumor, that Microsoft is going to be demonstrating a new Slate PC. It's actually going to be the Windows 8 tablet functionality at CES. So we'll see what they come out with. But you know, the Microsoft's really announcements at CES up to this point have been really kind of paltry at best. So we'll see what happens with CES. We'll have team members at the keynote, of course, along with a lot of other people that'll be doing a live stream of it. But apparently, this is potentially going to be announced at CES, the new Windows 8 tablet, and show the functionality and so forth of it. So we'll see where that goes down here in a few short weeks. You know, my house in Hawaii, one thing that drives me crazy is that I like a nice bright room. My wife is kind of the opposite. She kind of likes it a little dark. And we never have enough lamps wherever we need them. It just drives me insane. It really does. But she's the master of the design and layout of the house. And if I need bright lights, I have to go into my office and have them on. So they've got a new product out that I was looking at. And I thought, this may work good. She won't ever let me have one of these, but it's a light. It's a chair that has a light attached to it. It's not necessarily a light you'd want to put in your living. I mean, a chair you'd want to put in your living room, but maybe good for the kids' room or something. But yeah, what? How many of you guys drives you crazy? There's not enough light in your house. It's just one of those things that I have to keep my mouth shut on because she's like, oh, how come your office is so bright? And I go in the living room, it's so dark in here. How can you see anything? So it's just, you know, sometimes it's one of those situations where, fellas, where you're almost better just to keep your mouth shut long term, right? It's one of those fights you just decide you're not going to win. Good article over on GigaOM talking about, now that we have the web, do we need the Associated Press? And here's the question. Do we really need the Associated Press anymore? Is there enough independent press to make up for what the Associated Press puts out? I think there's going to come a time here where the AP is really going to outlive its usefulness. Syndication doesn't make a lot of sense in a world with the RSS feeds and where news outlets are segmented by geography. You know, really, it is a lot of separate markets. I looked at, it's like when I was still, of course, I'm still following what's going on with my cousin and her kids, and they just recently had a press release where my Uncle Don, who is married to my dad's sister, basically made a plea for the return of the children, and the contents was right there in the Michigan, Ohio area, and it was pretty regional. It wasn't picked up by national at all. So really, you know, a lot of the news today is still centrally located to the areas that we live, and we don't get a lot of, unless it's big national news of some major significance. So do we really need the AP anymore with the way syndication works? I don't know if we do or don't. I'm leaning towards no, that's for sure. Hey, there's a good article over on edisonresearch.com. It's the current state of the podcasting 2010. It's the presentation that was given by Tom Weber at BlogWorld. I wasn't able to attend because I had meetings in the booth at that time. So it's about 60 minutes. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but for those of you in new media, you may want to check this out. All right, really short show, folks, tonight. I really apologize for the length. I'm still trying to get healthy here, and I hope that you'll basically put up with me not getting a full show out. And I'm not even going to play voicemails tonight either. We'll wait till we get back to Honolulu. I will get into the emails a little bit. And I got an email from, this was more of a pitch, came from a company who said I'm excited to announce we're offering a 50% off holiday special to take part in this unique series. And this is about me putting audio up on airplanes. You know, how many of you have listened to airplane audio in the last 5 years? I listen to what's on my iPod. I don't listen to what, or my iPhone. I don't listen to what's on the airlines unless I listen to the movie. But he says, for only $1,795, we can have your commercial being played on American, Delta, and or U.S. Airways. And or you can have a TV commercial to broadcast at CNN Airport Network. How many of you really listen to any of that audio that's on televisions? How many of you actually listen to that audio? I don't think I see anybody anymore, at least not people sitting next to me. I just think this is another business that's going to go away. It's going to die. I'm going to email here from Robert. Thanks for your email. I appreciate it. I'll send this off to some folks over there that I know and see if he gets. This is just so Robert knows I'm responding. I'm not going to read his email, but we'll get this out to the folks that may be able to check into this. got an email from Jamie, and he's does a show, Podmedic. He said, hey, in a link to a newsletter on Australian Ambulance Service says it will be installing 850 iPads to their units for use for mobile patient care, reporting and tracking. Cool stuff. So I have this link up in the show notes. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. He said, kids go on expensive buying spree iPhone games. Oh, boy. Don't I know, Tom? Thanks for that link. I have that up in the show notes, of course. All right, next article is... All right, get an email here from Henry. He says, hey, Todd, I've been on vacation the previous 2 weeks, so I'm a little behind. It's a surprise to learn the missing boys in Michigan were related to you, and appreciate you adding those to your prayer list, Henry. I do appreciate it. I think that's it. I think that's it for content tonight, folks. And I need to, my voice has just about had it for the evening. And hopefully by the time I get back in Honolulu, I'll be back to 100%. One way or the other, I have to be. Because obviously you got a big show on Saturday, and the voice has got to last 24 hours. So better to get it healthy now than not be able to do the show on Saturday. So everyone take care. Thanks for hanging out. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Until next time, we'll see you then. Aloha.